try to share the mug.
All right, let's start this motherfucker.
That's where I'm going to start the show. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, welcome to Share Your Buzz, episode 70. I forgot to say that last week, what show it was, and it was 69.
Oh,
I missed that opportunity. But this is episode 70. I am Tony. With me, per the huge, is Chris.
How to do?
What's going on, brother?
Man, I'm having a great Friday.
Yeah?
Took a half day.
Are you sure it's not a good Friday?
Yeah, because Jesus rose from the fucking...
In 2 days. We got 2 days to be bad.
2 days? I don't know the Christian rules.
Day and a half.
Today is the day that the Easter Bunny crucified.
Okay. Right.
Give me those fucking batteries back, motherfucker.
It is kind of morbid that I go to sleep every night with a statue over my bed of a guy that was nailed to a piece of wood and, like, was bleeding. It's kind of morbid.
He's nailed to your wall, Tony.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, anyway, our guest tonight with us.
It's getting dark.
Sorry. It is one of those holidays. Like, Christmas is happy because, like, it's the birth of things. It is kind of weird that as Christians we celebrate something like dying. I don't know. It's anyway, I'm going to cut this whole part out. No, not really. Happy Easter. So, with us tonight, as a cat I've known for a few weeks now, met through a friend of a friend and heard some of his music and was like, dude, we got to get you on the show. And we're happy to have him here finally. Ben Jarrell, what's going on, brother?
It's Jarrell, man.
Jarrell?
It's cool. Everybody does that.
It's because
Would you say Jarrell?
Jarrell.
Jarrell?
Jarrell.
Ben Jarrell. I should have asked you that before we got on the show.
It's okay. It happens literally every time. It's all good, man.
It's okay. So give me the two again because I've had a couple drinks.
Ben Jarrell.
Or
Jarrell.
Jarrell.
I think
Jarrell sounds a little more hard, like a little more street.
I think it's because I grew up with a guy named Jarrell. Yeah. Like, that was his first name.
Yeah.
So I think it just, when I look at it.
Nice.
It's okay.
You don't look street, though.
No. Not very street. More dirt road.
Still a street, just not paved.
Yes, okay. Yes.
So, man, I was looking. We're going to hear some music from you in a little bit. But I was looking online today. I'd like to do a little bit of research. And aside from what I already know from meeting you, I couldn't really find any, like, bio of you online. So we're going to just start from the beginning, brother.
Okay.
Let's.
Who you be?
No, all man. Right. Let's start out. Well, first, I guess we should drop what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I professional mime.
Professional
no,
mime.
I'm kidding. I sing, write songs.
Cool.
Play guitar.
And I hate when people ask this question because it's stupid, but the listener, it's a genre type thing. Like, what kind of stuff do you do?
It's all built on the foundation of country music. Mm-hmm. But since that genre has become so split now, it's mm-hmm. hard to just call it country.
Sure.
I guess other people probably call it Americana.
Mm-hmm.
But I like blues, rock and roll, country, cool, bluegrass. I've just played so much bluegrass and so much country over the past 10 years that it's just everything I do has that kind of vibe to it.
You sort of, like when you first started playing, you instantly trained yourself pretty much in
when
this
I was
country.
I started playing guitar when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And
yeah.
And I, you know, I grew up mostly living with my grandparents and, you know, they listened to, you know, my granddad called, you know, he would say that like Garth Brooks was like too new for him, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
He was into like old school stuff. And so between that and then like my aunts and uncles that had influences in 70s and 80s country and stuff like that, I grew up singing that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I was a teenager, you know, everybody kind of liked the fact that I did that. So, of course, I was like, well, fuck that, you know. So I started playing punk rock and heavy metal and rock and roll and all that, and then I figured out I sucked at all that, and that I was all right. I was kind of okay at the country stuff. So then I played bluegrass for a while, and here I am doing the country rock and roll thing.
Yeah,
man, how was that transition? You think there's such an attitude that goes with playing punk and stuff, and like, and it almost like a lot of the punk guys that I know, like, because where I grew up, it was a big punk scene down in Florida and Orlando and stuff. But
yeah,
they always give respect to other genres of music. A lot of people wouldn't imagine that, but the punk guys are super respectful of other, like, the classics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you don't see, in my, I don't know, it just seems like going from punk to bluegrass. Like, it would be a...
It's...
The timing, though, right?
Well...
Some bluegrass is pretty fucking rocking. So, it's high tempo. And like,
yeah, I mean, for some people, I don't know how they get into it. You know, for me, it was just... after playing all that, like, high-intensity stuff, where the lyrics were usually dark, or they were challenging authority, or they were, you know, murder ballads, whatever, in the punk community, and then... I got into, like, folk music for a while because it was, like, a chilled-out version of, like, the 60s folk music was kind of a chilled-out version of punk rock. It was pre-punk rock, mm-hmm. you know, saying the same things. And then I got really into, like, you know, I'd always liked Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and people like that. But then I kind of looked at them in a whole new light of, like, holy shit, these guys are saying the same thing that these guys are saying, you know. The problem was that stuff wasn't really intense enough for me at the time. So I started getting into bluegrass because bluegrass had that same insane intensity as punk rock. It was fast. It was intense. Mm-hmm. But you had to be a better player. So it made me sit down and be like, oh, maybe I don't know how to play guitar yet, you know. And then from that, I kind of started figuring out my voice and my guitar playing style. And then transitioning, you know, into country from that was kind of nice because it's country's a little easier to play. And now it's just kind of like I try to take all those different genres that I've either played or experienced and put them all into some semblance of country music.
That's cool. I say that's cool.
that's cool, man.
That's cool because I like the idea of people that didn't start in a genre or maybe started in a genre, played a bunch of other ones, and then came back. All the different influences that and not just the generic when people say, oh, you have so many influences from this, but even the actual mechanics of playing. Like, when you play different styles of music, you learn different chords. You learn different ways of playing that you can then tweak to make, you know, to then bring into your genre or whatever it is you're doing. And, you know, I find that a lot. You know, people will say, like, the Beatles have these crazy chord progressions, and then you get to someone, you go to someone like Jimmy Buffett, who has, like, you would think nothing to do with the Beatles, but you look at his chord progressions, and he's got some, you know, like, he's got some weird shit that doesn't look like it's supposed to match up, and you can take different little tweaks from different genres and kind of...
Well, you know, an interesting thing about the Beatles comment, too, is that most of the records that they took with them on the road when they first got here were old country records, Buck Owens mm-hmm. and Red Simpson, a lot of the Bakersfield stuff. Because, I mean, the same thing happened with, you know, it's weird because when I talk to some people about it, they think that, like, what I'm doing, what other people are kind of doing with these transitions, you know, getting into punk and then out of punk, back in the that's... It's been happening for a long time. Sure. I mean, Clarence White, who is a huge name in the bluegrass community, he was the one who pretty much redefined lead guitar in bluegrass, like flat picking acoustic guitar. Mm. And I mean, you know, he was in rock and roll bands before that, you know. And then you've got people like Graham Parsons and the Byrds. I mean, they did, you know, Sweetheart of the Rodeo, and they were kind of doing their own version of rock and roll and country, you know, because they had found this renewed love for country music after they had already played rock and roll. And I don't think I'm as good as any of those guys, but that's kind of where
I think
I'm
the band kind of tees their line too.
Dude, the band is, mm-hmm. I think the band is probably definitely one of my favorite. Yeah, they're just so great.
Hey, you know, I'm actually eating my words now. I'm going back on the question I asked about going from like punk to bluegrass. Cause now that you're bringing up all these points, I'm thinking about it, it's like, yeah, there actually is a lot of overlap. The Venn diagram there is got a wide swath.
Especially metal. There's a lot of metal heads that play bluegrass, and the reason is because bluegrass is one of the only other kind of genres of music where it's expected for there to be, like, two solos at least per song, and shredding, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I've seen a lot of these metal guys that I've seen play in metal bands. I'll see them at bluegrass festivals just fucking shredding acoustic guitar, and it's incredible.
Yeah, because that, like, those death metal, like, leads, I mean, they're mm-hmm. very much like a country, like, mandolin lead or something. Or like
similar, yeah. Kirk Hammett from Metallica made a comment when they did that record of all their songs bluegrass style. He even said, like, man, I don't even think I could play some of that shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, we touched a little bit on what we were talking about before the show about how some people don't want to switch genres and only want to play what they're used to playing or what they their genre they play. But it's that right there with if you're going to be legendary like that, you're going to be that well known, whether it's well known by fans or well known by other, you know, in your own circles, if you're going to be the top of your game, you have to, you should be able to do all that stuff. And look at guys like I'm trying to think of something top of my head. Like I'm thinking of guys like Zach Brown. You know,
okay,
that dude's an incredible picker.
Yeah,
and he can play beach music. He can play country. He can play rock and roll. You know, you look at I'm a big fan of the band Revolution from the West Coast, and they're like white boy reggae stuff. But that guy's an incredible guitar player. Like you hear him playing like the easy reggae stuff, and then I got YouTube videos of him just picking. He'll be like, oh, like he posted this shout out. He's not giving me a sponsorship, but he posted this Instagram picture of him like last weekend, like, oh, bored on a Sunday, just picking guitar, and it was like 5 minutes of him just doing his crazy fucking riffs on acoustic guitar, and like you would never think that from him just playing the regular boom, bop, boom.
Well, I think the other thing too is, you know, at least my opinion is, I think people are comfortable in groups, you know, gang mentality, whatever you want to call it. So I think that's why sometimes people won't take the chance to try out a different genre, whether it's good or not, because they need some sort of self-identity. And I mean, most musicians and songwriters, I know I'm completely, you know, screwed up, you know what I mean? And I think
to be a creator of any sort.
And I think that has something to do with it. It tries to, you know, I try to think about it and empathize and be patient with people because I have to realize, like, well, these people have their clique, and I'm not part of their clique, so they don't want to leave their clique for some nobody that they don't know, playing something funny, that they don't play.
Side note, the funny thing about anybody doing anything creative is that you have to simultaneously be narcissistic and humble at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be humble enough to know that you're crazy, but there's got to be a little bit of narcissism in there to make you think that people want to hear what you have to say. You know what I'm saying?
Healthy amount of it will keep you motivated.
And that's across the board, whether it's songwriting, like whether you're a writer or even
actor, whatever.
Nobody wants to make a record that people don't want to listen to. What I mean? Right? Like, everybody wants you to listen to their record and like it. I mean, anybody who says that's full of shit. So, but... Yeah, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's like you've got, and I, once again, don't think I'm as good as any of these other people, but you've got to have this balance of, like, logical sanity and just complete insanity, and you've got to figure out a way to dip in and out of the two in order to get the things you need for the songs. At least I do. You know, like when I write, I can't write around people because they'll think I'm completely insane, because I'll have conversations with myself. I'll be standing on the porch smoking a cigarette, taking a break through a song, and I'll, you know, and my friends have heard me and thought I like had somebody over or was on the phone. And it's like, no, man, it's like I will have conversations with myself like a crazy person to get these songs out. You know, so.
That's awesome, man. I dig it.
A little dialogue to, well, because, I mean, it makes sense if you think about. If you want to write something that's real, it usually comes from a real situation. But when you're trying to write something, like I find this, whether it's songwriting or even when I'm doing like other writing stuff, if you want to write something that sounds real and you were wondering what that person might do in that situation, you have to go through that situation in your head.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times if I'm writing dialogue or something, I'll sit around for like a half hour and have a conversation in my head to see what that person would actually say like in real life. You know, because a lot of times when you're writing, it'll come out fake if you're just doing it off the cuff.
Oh, yeah.
You have to think about it for a while.
Yeah, there's be times I'll be sitting out on the porch, I'll be telling a story about some guy doing something, for instance, and, like, I'll be out on the porch, and I'll just be thinking about it silently, and out of nowhere, I'll be like, there's no fucking way that guy would do that, you know, to myself. So when people are around and they don't know what's going on, they're just like, oh, that's Ben. He's crazy, you know, so.
That's okay. It takes a little crazy, man.
Right?
Yeah. I think so.
So where'd you grow up? How'd you get into it? Let's go back to that stuff.
Yeah, you said you grew up with your grandparents, right? Mostly?
Yeah.
They big music people?
Music fans, yeah, not really musicians. My mom, she played piano actually the entire pregnancy, so she says that's where I get music from. I don't know how legit that is.
That's my boy.
That'll be the story when you get famous.
Yeah,
that's what they'll put in your biography.
He'd be holding up a Grammy. Mom,
my dad, he was always like a perfectionist, so it was kind of more like I couldn't practice around him. I had to be able to play it right. If I didn't, you know, he'd be like, you know, what the fuck's wrong with you? Play it right or don't, you know, do something else. And
that's very encouraging.
It kind of was, but I spent most of time with my grandparents because my dad was a pretty much like career criminal, so He's locked up now.
Ooh, okay. I bet you got a couple songs out of that.
Got a few, yeah. And anytime I get writer's block, you know, I can toss a little extra in his commissary and be like, hey, man, get me a cool story from one of them batshit crazy dudes in there, you know.
Nice.
But, yeah, so I spent most of my time with my grandparents, and they're good people. I was always around music, but not necessarily a lot of musicians. And then I just remembered this girl that lived down the street when I was, like, 13 or 14 said, you know, let's start a band. And that was it. It's something clicked in my head, and I was like, I could start a band. Mm-hmm. Never even started a band with her, but it was like this disease that I caught at that point. So for the rest of my life, from like 13 or 14 years old, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. Or, oh, I'm going to do what my daddy did and run his store or whatever all these other people are doing. It's like, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to play in a band. Well, really, though, what are you going to do? I'm going to play in a band.
I was 16 when I had that moment, a little bit later than you, but I remember my buddy, I was driving him home. He didn't have a license yet, so I was driving him home after school. And I was like, man, I've always wanted to play the drums, you know, or be a singer in a band or some shit. And he was just like, dude, why don't we just start a band? Neither one of us could play anything.
No, those are the best bands.
We were just
like,
let's do it. And we already had a name. I can't remember. It was called Bourgeoisie or some bullshit.
That's kind of
like
how
that.
We started this podcast. Dude, let's start a podcast. Do you know how to do a podcast? No, not really. Let's just start talking.
Oh, dude.
How about this? How about we get drunk and talk?
Yeah.
Those are the best bands. Yeah. The ones where you come up with a name before you even learn how to play the fucking instrument. Those are great.
The band name's the most important part, bro.
You got t-shirts printed up before you even learn how to play?
Fuck yeah, man. That's how you do it. Like, hey, dude, come to our show in a month.
Right.
Oh, what are you doing next week? I'm saving up money for a drum set so I can learn how to play before the show.
Yeah, right. No, I remember I went to a pawn shop on Nolensville Road and got me, I think it was probably $500. $500 drum set, you know, and I remember it because I was so disappointed because my buddy was like, yeah, we're going to fucking start this band. So we played for a couple of months and I'm actually getting pretty good. I'm listening to records and trying to play along with records. My dad was actually really cool about it. So love you, Dad, you know, but anyway, so he sort of fizzled out, you know, and then I was sort of stuck playing drums by myself. But so I had to like scrounge around and find people. But I finally did. That's how I met Adam, which was one of our previous guests. So. Anyways,
your dad
we're here for you. I'm just ranting. But
maybe your dad wasn't cool. Your dad was just Ukrainian and fucked up on vodka all the time. Hey, I can't. I wish I could do a Russian accent. Like,
it's.
I need to practice because I know this is not true, but I have this. I have a.
You ever heard Klingon? Your last Star Wars. It's like fucking like that.
I know this is not true, but I have a vision in my head of your dad just being like a. Like a straight up like old school Russian with like a wife beater,
like the dude from Running Scared with like, John Wayne tattooed
like
on
Ray
his back.
Chester's just popping
out. Yeah,
like
wife beater
cross.
Just doesn't give it, always pissed off about everything.
Don't talk bad about the Duke, you know, like. well, that's cool though. Yeah.
All right.
Fuck. Your back dog to, shit
back,
in my
back
room.
To Ben.
Anyways.
So we're drinking whiskey, not vodka right now. We're having a little Jack Daniels.
Yeah, that seems appropriate.
Okay, so you're here in Nashville. When did you decide to exit old Alabama?
Wait,
are you an Alabama football man, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
You and my buddy Chase. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not, like, hardcore, but pretty much everybody from Alabama is a football fan, even if they hate football.
Yeah, I guess you guys don't really have a pro team to, like...
No, we just have the best college football team in history of college football. You know, that's mathematically true. But anyways, I like anybody else in a small town, like I wanted to leave. So so the first thing I did when I was 17 was I convinced my parents to sign me away to the Army. So I tried that out. That's a short story. Not good with authority.
Just got in there and you're like, fuck you, drill sergeant.
Well, it wasn't that I wasn't like, fuck this. It was more just like, they were like, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Because
it was just like, you know, it was more like, do this. And it was like, well, why? You know, it's like, dude, you're in the Army. You don't get to do that. And I was like, after a while, I figured out like, okay, this isn't for me. So I ended up getting kicked out of that. And then my dad was moving to Florida during one of his stints. Okay, not as, locked up.
As cons usually do.
Yeah.
Is that why that's why Florida's so bad?
Well,
it's
during one of his stints, not in trouble. He's definitely more time in trouble than not. But anyway, so he was going down to Clearwater and I'd never really been down there, you know, and I mean, it was better than South Alabama as far as I was concerned. So I went down there a week later. We got into a knockdown, drag-out fight like we always do. He kicked me out. So I remember standing on the corner, and it said downtown St. Petersburg. And you got to realize, dude, I'd never even taken a fucking city bus before. You know what I mean? Like, I'd never even seen a city bus. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was like, I'd never even seen a place that had a downtown anything. You know what I mean? So I was like, fuck yeah, man, you know, like, I got this shit. I'm going to get on this bus and go to downtown St. Petersburg. I didn't even know where that was, you know. So I get down there, and luckily they let you off right where all the homeless people sleep. So, like, I didn't have to find where I needed to go. You know, the bus was just like, all right, here we go. And I was like, oh, well, wow, thanks, cool.
The bus stations are like that.
Yeah, and, it's kind of like the bus driver silently being like, hey, you look like you don't know where you are. Have fun living here for the next however long.
This is where you need to go. Yeah.
So anyways, I met this kid the same day. His name was Brendan. And he was playing guitar, and I showed him a couple of things on guitar, and he was into punk rock, and we just became friends. And I slept in the park that night, and then the next day I was walking to go get some coffee or something, and I saw he was passed out in the front seat of a car with this other punk rock dude, and they had, like, puked on themselves. And I was like,
oh, shit.
I was like, this guy's going to be my best friend. And then, you know, a few weeks after hanging out and everything, you know, his parents were like, dude, you can just crash here. And then him and I started our first band, which was like kind of a folk punk band. We were hanging out with a lot of the guys, like, you know, from Against Me and stuff, from like Gainesville, a lot of those mm-hmm. guys when they were still acoustic guitars and poor. I still wasn't really – I had written a little bit when I was a teenager.
Side note, a lot of those guys, electric guitars now, still poor.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, they're doing all right.
Yeah, they're doing. I'm just saying, a lot of those local bands from Florida.
Yeah, a lot of those. Yes. And I was doing a little bit of writing, but it was more just like playing nasty folk punk versions of really country, Johnny Cash, stuff like that. And then, because that was the stuff that I could play that nobody else there could play, you know. So it was kind of my way of inserting myself in the scene and be like, well, check this out, you know.
Yeah.
And then I met this guy named Dirty Bob. And he's called that because he is dirty, but he's a good friend. He still is. And he had these garbage bags stacked up in the corner of his room one day. And I was like, you know, I was like, is that fucking trash? He's like, no, those are all my songs. And I was like, what? And they were just garbage bags full of songs. And he eventually later on got to do this thing where, like, you could give him $20 and he would just, you pull one out and give it to you. Like, whatever you got's whatever you got.
Why do I feel like that is a little too on the nose? Like, a guy named Dirty Bob should have trash bags full of stuff.
Yeah, it should be trash, right? No, but it's songs. And
his trash is gold.
And when I saw that he was spending so much time writing, I was like, wow, you know, why the fuck don't I do that? Why don't I spend time writing? And that's when I got, like, addicted to songwriting.
You went to the store, you bought some trash bags.
Yeah, right. No, I just keep mine in notebooks. That's kind of his thing. I don't want to steal his, you know, thunder or whatever. But
boring.
and then, you know, I was playing in bands, and then my friend Brendan had just gotten back. He was like, all right, well, I'm going to go to Texas. I'm going to ride my bike to Texas. Not a motorcycle. He's like, I'm just going to get on my bicycle and ride to Texas. And I was like, what the fuck ever. Lo and behold, you know, a few days later, he is gone on his bike and on his way to Texas. And he made it to Texas and traveled all over the country, hopping trains and riding bicycles. He kayaked drunk into Mexico for a cheeseburger. And then ended up not being able to get back here because he didn't have any ID on him. Luckily, we had been in some protests years before, so the Department of Homeland Security had pictures of him to prove that he was an American citizen.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Wow.
Need to do more with my life. Sure. I've never ridden a kayak into Mexico for a cheeseburger. Like,
the most American thing ever, this fucking guy takes a kayak to Mexico to go buy. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, to get a cheeseburger.
If I walk home drunk from the bar and like run into like some bum on the street and have an interaction, I, like, that's my adventure for the year. Like, I need to have more adventure in my life. Shit.
Yeah. Well, he definitely inspired me, too. I mean, you know, at that point, I was still kind of under the impression that, like, you know, I had to, like, you know, have a normal job and be normal and shit. And he had convinced me that that was not the case. So him and I started a band together, a string band called Gators in the Sawgrass. And we did pretty well considering how shitty we all were and how drunk we all were all the time.
The most Florida name for a band ever.
Yeah, we were, it was a pretty good name. And then, you know, he ended up passing away, unfortunately, of his own doing. And after that, I kept trying to keep bands together and stuff, and I just kind of wasn't mourning that correctly, and I was in a relationship that wasn't working. So then I went to Oregon, to Central Oregon for about a year, and climbed some mountains and smoked a shit ton of weed.
You realize that your story sounds like a made-up story of a rock star. You couldn't make up... You know, you remember when Tim... what's his name? Jesus Christ. Remember when...
yeah, we were just talking about him earlier.
Yeah. What the hell's his name again?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I was talking about Jesus Christ.
No, you mentioned him earlier. Like, oh, son of a bitch.
Ryan Adams?
Fucking rodeo guy, the country singer that everybody is...
Garth Brooks?
Garth Brooks. Remember when Garth Brooks did that pseudonym personality?
Oh, Chris?
Chris, what was his...
Chris Gaines.
And he wrote like a whole backstory for him and everything.
Yeah.
That was like...
I heard that was a character for a movie they were going to do, but I didn't know if that was damage control from his PR. Like,
I don't know.
But I kind of thought he'd lost his mind.
But dude, if you came up with a pseudo personality, the story could not be as good as your actual story. It sounds like somebody made... I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But
I mean, it's...
you couldn't make up a story as
there's
Rockstar.
Been some good things, mostly bad things, but there's been some good things.
That makes for a good writer.
So you got high on the mountain in Oregon.
Yeah, and then shit kind of started, you know, picking up in a positive way.
So you learned some good bluegrass moves out there or something?
I did. Well, first off, I started playing guitar with a couple of these bluegrass guys, Garrett Miller on banjo, who I've written some songs with, and Brian Goodwin, a great mandolin player. We were all playing music together, and I had a nice guitar that I think a year or two ago had gotten stolen, and I was playing on this, like, well, if my buddy Rick, who sold it to me, hears me say, he'll get mad. But compared to the guitar I play now, a shitty, shitty Taylor.
Sure. And what are you playing right now?
I'm playing a Preston Thompson nice. Mahogany Dreadnought. So nice. I was hanging out in the Preston Thompson place, jamming my songs. And finally, they were like, hey, you know, you're good, but, you know, that guitar. You know? Mm. And it's like, well, you know, I can't afford one of your guitars. And Brian had just done an ad. He does, you know, a lot of like advertising and marketing and design work. There's nothing the guy can't do. He had done an ad for him, and they had owed him a guitar. And when you get endorsed, you know, by them, you still have to pay for, like, you know, cost of supplies and stuff. So what Brian did was Brian let his ad that he did cover my cost of supplies so they could endorse me and get me a guitar.
Sweet.
So then that's when I became a Preston Thompson endorsed artist, which, we kind of been working through it. I'm now officially endorsed. I'm on the website and all that stuff.
Wait, I just noticed you have the hat.
Yeah. I try to wear it as much as I can, just, you know, to plug those guys. They build great guitars. And so then after that, I started playing around Oregon and not necessarily playing out as much as just hanging out and jamming with a lot of different people. And this guy, I'm not allowed to mention his name because he doesn't want me to. But anyways, this guy, a very wealthy guy, had heard my music and really liked it. And I had an abscess and a wisdom teeth, and
it was Hulk Hogan, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I wasn't making any money, and my I was fucking dying. I mean, I had an abscess, an infection in my mouth, and he found out about it and like sent somebody over, took me to the best like oral surgeon in town, paid to get the shit taken out, everything. Didn't owe him any money, and then afterwards told me, you know, you've got this guitar endorsement. I'm going to give you a little bit of money. You need to go to Nashville. And I was like, okay.
It was Dog the Bounty Hunter.
I'll do that. No, I can't. He's not a celebrity or anything. He's just kind of, he just told me never to use his name. So anyways.
I'm going to do this the rest of the show now.
It's okay. It's all right. Anyways, so I decided to go down to Florida and beat out the winter. I didn't want to come to Nashville with it cold and snowing and stuff. So I went down to Florida, played around for a little bit, and then And I was kind of like not, I was convincing myself not to go to Nashville because I could make money down in Florida playing music. Sure. And I had like $300 in my pocket left or whatever. And I was just like, man, fuck it. And I got in my van and I went to my grandma's, which is on the way, you know, South Alabama. And, you know, she threw some canned food in my van for me. And I drove up here and I knew one person. Her name was Amy. And I crashed on her floor the first night. And then that's all she wrote. I just started networking and hanging out. And
now,
meeting people.
Now, we talked about this a little bit before the show, but as we're winding down the first segment here, let's talk. I want to touch on this because this was a really cool conversation we had. Like, the fact of leaving something steady that you know you can make money at to come up here for this. Like, what do you think that is with people that, like, do they think that, I don't like, not only you, but like, what do you think in general? Like, people, like, you know, you have a steady gig that you can probably right. live on, you know, you can make money on. Probably you can play gigs around your little regional area,
right.
you know, your state or whatever for, you know, for your career.
Yeah.
Sure. So what is it that, like, nags at you that says maybe come up here?
For me, it's always been simple. Like, I don't look down on any of those people for staying in those local circuits. I don't look down on any of the guys on Broadway playing covers. Like, I don't think I'm above that. I just think my goals that I've set are different. And my goals were not to be playing in a local band in Florida forever. You know, my goals were to, you know, I'm not under any impression or smoking anything on a pipe dream that I'm going to be big and famous or anything like that. But I noticed that the guys that I look up to, like Jason Isbell and all the guys from Drive By Truckers and Sturgill Simpson's another good mm-hmm. example. Like, those guys got to where they're at because they worked their asses off and sure. because they didn't settle. You know, they didn't go, oh, well, I can make money here playing in Kentucky, so here we go. No, they were like, I think I can do a little more than that. And it doesn't mean that I think I'm better than anybody. It just sure. means, like, I want to get the most out of this life of course, that I can, you know? So I guess for me, it's just playing, even if I had money, I've always been broke and poor my whole life. So I'm almost more comfortable in some kind of stressful form of poverty than I would be successful anyways. So for me, it wasn't a big deal. It was like, okay, hey, go back to how you've been living the rest of your life and shit might get way better yeah. than it is right now.
Sure.
So that was kind of my
whole. It's also, I agree with everything you said. I'm just playing devil's advocate, but I actually totally agree with you. That's why I'm here. But it's Nashville, I believe, is definitely one of those stops on the way. Like, even if you're your own, no matter what you're doing, even if you but your own original artist, but to get to that point, whether there are certain things that you kind of have to follow the footsteps of people that came before you, and Nashville is one of those watershed spots, one of those moments that I think everybody should experience, especially if you're
yeah.
in music. You know, it's the same thing. Like, if you want to be a writer, like, you know, there's, you know, you go to the Caribbean, you go to Paris, you go to New England. Like, there's like certain things that the great people of that do what you're doing did. And you kind of want to follow in their footsteps a little bit to kind of get like, have that experience to build on. And Nashville is definitely, especially in this day and age, in this time period, not sound like an old man, but like Nashville is one of those places where it's going to be different for you than it was for the generation before and the generation after, because we're in like a very tumultuous twisting of
yeah,
Nashville.
That's why you can't, you know, and I would definitely tell anybody who's asked me already what I thought, you know, that does what I do or that wants to come here and do this. They're all, you know, so many people here and in other places have so much negative shit to say. And the fact of the matter is, they don't know. They don't know what they're talking about, because this point that we're at right now is not like any other point before. And that point before then was not like any other point before. I mean, there was no, I mean, you think about this, man, like 30 years ago, you couldn't come here, start a band, start your own record label, produce your own records, sell your own shit, and do it all in-house without any label. Now you can, and that's what's built up the middle class in country music, and that's, you know, what I want to be a part of. I mean, plus there's the whole punk rock attitude of, like, DIY, you
exactly.
know? If it doesn't exist, then I'll fucking make it exist, you know?
How long have you been here?
A month and a half.
Oh, wow. Fucking baby.
Yeah.
You haven't been burnt yet.
Oh, shit, dude. There's nothing that can happen to me here that'll even equate to the
exactly.
shit that I've dealt with.
Yeah, well,
even
Nashville fire. It's exactly. not just hot chicken. It's.
Yeah. I think you'll be all right, because you have. You're
I think you're good.
Well,
you're
with everything that you've been through.
Cool enough.
And
you'll
then
probably be
you also
right.
have. You look like a badass already, so.
Oh, thanks.
It's got knuckle tattoos. That's official. I think you're the first.
But
thought I had a lot of
you
tattoos.
Did, you did catch on. You touched on one thing though, about everybody talking shit and being negative though. Like being like not being negative doesn't mean being overly positive. Like you can like you don't need to think everybody's against you all the time and the city shit.
Right.
Everybody's no, this fuck this city. Everything.
No, I will say too, the majority of the people I met here have been amazing and great and friendly. Probably the friendliest music city I've ever even been to. It's not that. It's just a lot of the people who are upset with their own poor choices and blaming it on everything else and then trying to kind of discourage you because and you're trying to follow the same thing they did,
end up why is because they want to surround themselves with other people that made poor choices and then they feed off each other and be like oh fuck this
and then you've got Guns N' Roses you know like
but, another thing too I feel like in Nashville it's like the great white shark right but everyone like you ever notice those little, what are those little fish that sort of
remora
they shadow
holy
the
shit,
shark
man, I was. Like, I thought we. I figured we were gonna make up a fake name for that. I didn't think any of that was.
No, he knows
good job, man.
You and I were talking
Shark
about this
Week.
The other day, but it's like there's all these people, especially if you're a great songwriter or someone that has something interesting to say or you have a unique sound. There's always gonna be those little remoras, like we want to get a piece of your song. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking
like,
little remoras.
Let me write
play
in on your song,
bass,
bro.
Man.
Yeah, man. I'm actually a big fan of if you just go through like I said, having a positive attitude. Now I'm a pretty like morose guy. Like, I'm pretty sad. I'm pretty cynical about shit. But I'm not negative. Like I have a positive attitude. I just acknowledge that there's bad shit. I guess I don't know how to say it. I'm a little drunk, but
for me, it's like a battery. Like that's the way my happiness works. Is where I'm like fucking depressed all the time, and it charges that happy battery. Yeah, yeah, so then when I'm out around people, I can turn it on, and you know, whenever it starts to get the low battery light, it's kind of like, all right, guys, I gotta go to the fucking house.
Most people in life though would just be surprised. Like even guys like our age, adults would need to learn the lesson that if you just don't be a dick. If you're just humble to people and nice to people, you'll get so much more out of what you want in life.
Well, like, that's just common sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you think it's common sense, but like my joke at work all the time is like I'm not a nice guy. I just want shit, so I gotta be nice to you so that you give me what I need.
Yeah, there's definitely some validity.
I'm not always
to that.
A nice guy, but sometimes when it's important, just keep your fucking mouth shut. You know, keep it to yourself.
No, man, if you put positivity out there, that's what you'll get back. And you need to get yourself away from the people that are not like that.
Well, that and then also, you know, you need a good structure of friends or a good girlfriend. You know, especially if you can't afford a therapist, because you gotta have somebody that you can say all the shit to that you don't want anybody else to hear you say. And I think getting that out makes it easier to not say it.
Oh, when, that's why I love hanging out with our buddy Kyle, because we're both like that. So we talk to each other, and we both just want to vent to each other.
Yeah.
Neither one of us are listening to each other. So he's having a conversation to me, I'm having a conversation to him, and sometimes I think we're having two separate conversations, not even listening to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But we're both getting what we need to get off our chest.
I think I've done that with Kyle, actually.
But that's why you should get a cat, man. Cats are great for that.
I should get a cat. Every great writer has a cat. Hemingway had 9.
Yeah. Whew, with 9 toes. I think,
I think so.
They've got an extra toe or something. I don't know. I went to the Hemingway house. They really, all those cats really do have extra toes. That's why in Florida they call them Hemingway cats when they have too many toes.
I did not know that. You stumped me on some Hemingway knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not really Hemingway. It's more like his cats. I probably know more about his cats than I do him. I know he wrote some great shit, shot himself with a shotgun, but I can tell you all the cool shit about his cats.
It's funny. Like, you look at Hemingway, Hank Williams, I got posters up everybody, but you look at these greats that you try to emulate. It's like I want to emulate all their work, but not so much the killing myself and dying at 20 years old.
Well, you know,
Hunter S. Thompson
and I will
not
say
necessarily go gonzo every
just
night.
Just to defend Hank too. You know, when he was really young, he had these insane back problems.
Yeah.
That were never diagnosed, so he was addicted to painkillers pretty early on. Not to mention he was raised in a bordello.
Yeah.
You know, around prostitutes and stuff. So that's not really going to give you the best. The other guys,
quote unquote boarding house.
Yeah, boarding house. Yeah.
On that note,
we need some more of those. We usually come back with the second segment and try to have fun. And so let's knock out all the important stuff before you. Let's get your plugs in. Where can people find you and your music and all that?
I'm working on the website right now. We're revamping it. I've got this band going with my buddy Robert that we're putting together called the Crosswind Drifters. So there'll be a website for that soon. Really right now, the only thing I have up is just, my personal Facebook, which, you know, anybody can message me on. And then I have a YouTube channel, which is just under Ben Jarrell Music. And
that,
then
spell that last name for everybody.
It's J-A-R-R-E-L-L. And then, of course, there's some information about me on Preston Thompson Guitars website as well.
Yeah, we want to talk more about the guitar stuff when we get back after we hear after we see you play and everything.
Sure.
And then, so yeah, is there what are you doing now in town? What are you doing for while you're out here?
I've been working the door down at Robert's Western World just because it's the only place with classic country, at least. and everybody there has been great. So I've been working down there, kind of networking and just getting the songs down, getting them ready, and hoping to be playing out pretty soon.
All right, man. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-show break and come back with some music.
Cool.
So.
Sweet.
You're on, brother.
Okay. Yeah, so this one's called 99 Years. This one I wrote a few years ago with a good friend of mine, Brendan. And initially, it was his idea to do the song because it was about this newspaper article that he'd read about these two brothers in New York or wherever that I guess got into it with a couple of cops, and one of the brothers and the cop got into some sort of a gunfight, and the other brother was the only one alive. He got blamed for something that he didn't do or whatever. So yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I mean, you know, we've been doing this show now for a little while, so I'm a little inebriated, but all right, so this one's called 99 Years. To the barrel of a gun, couldn't recall anything I'd done, but on the street a man lay dead. Well, the cops said, confess to your crime, boy, you're looking at a lot of time, as I lay chained to that hospital bed. The gavel fell hard right on me, and I years and I'll be free. Hell, I kinda wish they'd given me a chair. Now I spend my days with liars and thieves, and no one ever visits me. No, I don't think anyone still cares. Think prison bars are cold. Hey, buddy, think of this. Try standing behind them for a crime you didn't commit. But the TV said I was guilty, and that old jury, they agreed, not thinking twice about the life they stole from me. And it'll be 99 years, and then I'll be free. I spend Sunday mornings, hardwood pew, just listening to that chapel preaching words about Jesus, and how he's gonna set me free. There's a man upstairs, holds the key, only one man that can set me free. The reach warden on a plaque upon his desk. An hour a day out in the yard, another man earns his scars, treated like a dog, he's been forced to fight him. Treated like animals, filling with rage, and I got guards beating on my cage, and one of these days might have to turn and bite him. Think prison bars are cold now, buddy, think of this, try standing behind them for a crime you didn't commit. But the TV said I was guilty, and that old jury, they agreed, not thinking twice about the life they stole from me. And it'll be 99 years, and then I'll be free. Thank you. Think prison bars cold now, buddy. Think of this, try standing behind them for a crime you didn't commit. But TV said I was guilty, that old jury, they agreed, not thinking twice about the life they stole from me. It'll be 99 years, and then I'll be free.
All right.
What up, homies?
Mm. Mm.
Are we feeling good?
Why did we come in like a bunch of big black mamas?
Mm-hmm.
Like we're in the front row of a Baptist church.
The burn is so deep.
You know what I love about Nashville is we have a lot of good soul food restaurants. And like, dude, the black ladies at the soul food restaurants don't fucking play, dude. Like, it's all, like I've never been to New York, but I've heard like when you get in line, you order food, like you need to know what the fuck you want. It's like, dude, I'll be in line. They're like
no soup for you.
It's like you walk up there and like, honey, what you want? Just like, fuck you, we got fried chicken. Like, if you don't hurry up, she's like, baby, we got like 50 people behind you. You need to hurry up.
They always push Fanta on me.
Fanta? Oh,
they want me to drink the Fanta.
Dude, you got to get up on the mic, dude.
Ah, sorry.
Get in there. Put that mic in that in your face, boy.
Trying to get comfy here.
All right, not that close. Right, right, it's like putting it, like, you don't got to put it in
right
your mouth.
In there.
I'm like thrusting it.
Yeah, take that mic. So what's up, Ben? You feel good, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we just heard some awesome songs from
awesome
Ben.
Awesome
songs. Thanks for playing, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that,
man.
Hey, we were talking about your guitar earlier, dude. It sounds really good.
Thank you.
It's a killer guitar.
Yeah, that was badass, dude. Tell us like a little background on that. Like, I know you said a little bit how you got involved with them, but
yeah,
did you get to pick out what you wanted and all that?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have a huge selection, mainly because after the whole endorsement thing and everything, like I even before that, I'd spent time there watching them. And the thing is, they build all those guitars from hand. Those aren't production. They use very little machinery except for what's necessary. Even the coating and everything on them, because they're basically built, you know, on the model of like the 1930s pre-war Martins. So they build them that way. But they're great.
I'm sorry.
Cheers.
Yeah. So
this is why we try to get all the business out in the first segment.
Yeah.
Because usually the second segment is a lot of this.
Jerry shows up.
Yeah. We call this the second segment is known as the Jerry Curl.
Ooh, I like that.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Anyways, yeah, they're some of the greatest guitars in the world, and I'm lucky to be able to play one.
It was awesome, dude. And I mean, not too shabby picking on it either.
Thank you. Yeah. Especially considering I'm usually not this inebriated when I play. So
well, no one needs
it's
to
rock
know
and
about
roll,
that.
Brother.
I was gonna say, yeah, we need to say that to anybody, but you know.
I've never gone on stage.
Well, I mean, the whole point
few
of the show is
me.
That we're
yeah.
that we're
it
hanging
is.
Out drinking. So
no,
I mean,
it is.
I figured we could be loose about that, right?
Indeed,
sure.
We can.
We're loose around here, buddy.
Super loose.
You don't even know, man.
You don't even know. Loose.
The show got so tested loose. Last week. We're still waiting for the results.
Loose.
It's bad. It's bad.
I went on WebMD. It says we have cancer.
Yeah. Sure, your buzz has something. We don't know what it is yet, but.
You can put anything into WebMD and it comes back. Dude, I stubbed my toe and it's a weird color. Not fucking cancer.
Fuck it. One out of every 500,000 people who stump their toe, like break their toe,
you got
and
toe
the mirror
cancer.
Poisons
gets
their
infected.
Blood.
Dude, you got toe cancer,
yeah.
Bro.
I watched a lot of House.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you know what I love about House is the idea that if that dude is a. I'm fascinated. I know I'm being a super ignorant American right now. I'm fascinated by English people that do an American accent. Or anybody that's not American doing an American accent fascinates me. And I'm intrigued by how they have to learn about it. Like, I listened to Hugh Laurie talk about playing House, and he said the biggest hurdle was, like, all the medical terms. Because when you say your vowels, you have to make sure you say in the same way every time so it sounds like it's your native language.
Yeah.
Because anybody can do an accent. But
right.
Try doing an accent for, like, an hour long. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to make sure that you say things the same way every time.
Yeah, saying, like, pulmonary edema.
Yeah, right.
Using your
I can't
accent.
Say that now.
That guy from The Walking Dead does terrible at that. Andrew Lincoln.
Really? Yeah. I always thought his southern drawl was fairly decent. I mean, it's a little thick.
It's a little dramatic.
It's a little...
They kill him when he says Carl.
Carl.
Yeah. It's Carl. Like
Coral.
Coral.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he's like... Any of us from the South that get too drunk, that's how he talked like all the time.
Maybe that's how we sound. We just don't know.
When we're really drunk,
we sound like
it comes out. I mean, but I got to be honest with you. Born and raised in the city, so at a younger age, I sort of try to distance myself from the Southern drawl because my dad's side of the family didn't really have one.
I did the same.
And my
thing
mom's side
for a while,
does. They're country as fuck. So it's like I remember like because it's a stereotype. Obviously, if you have a Southern drawl, people think you're fucking retarded, but. So I remember, like, sometimes I kind of miss it a little bit, you know? But when I'm drunk, it comes out, you know?
When I'm mad, it comes out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Motherfucker!
Dude, speaking of accents, like, of how people talk, like, I realized spending a week with my folks this past week, how they talk to each other. And, like, I was like, holy shit, do I sound like that when I talk to my friends? Because I'm listening to my parents talk, and I'm like, and my parents are both from the North. I was born up there, but I grew up in Florida, which really doesn't have. I joke around before the Florida country accent is like the trailer park accent, like when you hear like my name is Earl, like that's the accent for Florida.
yeah, it's not really like you can't be like. It's hard for people to recognize
but
a Florida accent.
The northern thing, it's not so much like an accent as it is that I think people like my parents like they talk everything is like very yelling. Like, I think it's very loud.
Yeah.
They talk from the top of their
throat.
They
use their hands a lot, too.
That, too. But I just mean, after listening to my parents talk back and forth to each other for a week, I'm not ragging on them. I'm just saying, like, now I know how I must sound to the people that I talk to. And I'm like, fuck, I sound like a dick. Like, everything they sound, because they sound like they're always yelling. So everything sounds like they're being mean.
That's the longest explanation I've ever heard anybody make for being a dick.
You know, I figure
it ended at that. It ended there.
I figure if I take a long time to get to it, maybe.
Dude, I'm just kidding. You don't sound like a dick, man. You don't sound like a dick.
And that's our time for the week.
No, I don't think.
It's Brian on the mic too, by the way. So what's up?
Yeah,
hello there. Good
spot. So man, we were talking outside.
He's on hallucinogenics right now. There's no telling what he'll say.
He's absolutely right.
We're actually not even on the microphone right now. This is all a figment of your imagination.
You're dreaming, my friend.
We have and
too bad it's a bunch of dudes and not pretty women.
You're still at cilantro.
That's right. Those margaritas and shrooms really got me, man.
Margaritas.
What are we going to do? All right, so okay, Ben.
We were talking outside about the band dynamic, trying to put a band together.
Yeah.
And delegating between that or allocating between like the songwriting and being in the band and how you kind of want those to not overshadow each other and kind of be their own things.
Not as much that as just like I want to be recognized as a songwriter for writing songs, but at the same time I don't want to do like a lot of guys, even guys I look up to do, and necessarily come right out of the gate being like, oh, this is Ben Jarrell and this is my band. Like I kind of want to start, you know, like a real kind of tribalistic band where everybody, you know, has a band name. It's not just about me. Everybody feels equally involved and doesn't feel so, like, expendable. Because that's something I've noticed a lot in Nashville. There's so many session guys that it's like a lot of these guys go into work playing for these bands, and they're like normal people at normal jobs. They're terrified they're going to get fired because there's 10 other guys that can play the same shit they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that's fucked up. Like, dude, this is music. We're supposed to be doing this because it's fun and we don't want to get real jobs. We don't want to turn it too much into a real job.
You said out there that you
got to treat it like your job.
You don't care about having your name in the band title. And that says something because you want the band to be the band.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, later on or whatever, maybe, you know, I don't know. But right now I'm just in a place where I want to just start a really cool band and play, you know, country, rock and roll, whatever, you know.
I'll just say much like you know, we're talking about the Drive-By Truckers and Jason Isbell and Ryan Adams, you know, he played with several, you know, Ryan Adams and the Cardinals and all that jazz. But I mean, like when you're creating music with a band, it's going to influence the way, you know, your songs turn out. Whereas, you know, if you're doing something solo, it's, you know what I mean? So it's like, in a way, that's a good thing. You can write your own songs all day, but you can experiment with different bands, you know?
Yeah, well, because I can play other instruments, man. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like if I had all that control right now, you know, I don't think I know what I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I've tricked enough people into liking my shit to not have to get a real job, you know.
So, make it till you make it.
Yeah, is that what you're doing? Yeah. So I just kind of want, you know, I want other guys that are as into these songs as I am to be like, fuck yeah, the percussion should do this right now. Something that I wouldn't think about anyways. So, you know, instead of this is my shit, you know, and I've tried that before. You know, I've tried the whole like, oh, this is these are my fucking songs. This is my shit.
Yeah.
And you turn into an asshole because people aren't going to do it exactly the way you want it. And 9 times out of 10, it's because they were right, you know.
Yeah.
I hate admitting it, but it's because they were right and they had good ideas. So now moving to Nashville and starting over, I kind of decided, like, I don't want to take that approach. You know.
Well, it's good to be able to sort of let go and let other people influence, you know, the organic sort of creation. But, yeah.
I just want to have fun, man.
Yeah, that's all that matters, dude. If you're not having fun, it's absolutely not worth doing.
I actually envy you guys a little bit for being in bands and stuff. I've always just been an individual songwriter. Never got into like the like four people putting a song together and like all jamming at the same time and creating that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've always been like the guy, like you said, I've always been the guy who wrote the song ahead of time and then is trying to get other people to see my vision.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to do that. Even even when you're like a co-writing situation, especially in this town, everybody wants to, I mean, I'll admit it. Everybody wants to be the alpha, so in something. So it's hard to, but when you all like can agree that there's like three or four people in a band and we're equal and you come up with something together.
Yeah. Like and sometimes you don't always agree. Sometimes, you know, there's some little, you know, it's just like any other relationship. There's some knockout dragouts, but
yeah,
you'll usually get something good in the long run.
Well, that's what I was saying out there earlier was like, you know, from now on too, I don't want to play in a band with anybody that's going to say no before they try it, no matter how fucking crazy or ridiculous it sounds. Because until you've literally heard something,
that's how
you can't,
I want
can't
a girlfriend
really
like that.
Know if you didn't like it.
Band idea name, Knockout Dragout.
Pretty awesome.
Write it down.
It'll be a
I like how I tried to kill the show. He saved it, but still ended up killing it.
I'm just like,
I'm just trying to think about like what genre
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind was this image of this dog dragging his balls across the carpet. Like, whoa. You know, you ever see those dogs? I don't know why that popped in my fucking head, dude.
I was thinking it sounded like some kind of like
drag on this dog's like scratches.
Holy shit, dude.
I don't know why.
Are we doing this?
Chris is
cutting.
Chris just got himself.
We just started a band.
It was in my head. It popped out.
For me, when he said that, I was thinking like an 80s Boston hardcore punk band or something.
No, for sure. It definitely has that kind of sound to it.
Did we just start a band?
We did. Did we just start? Did we just become best friends? Shit, man.
Usually that happens on the second segment of the show.
You guys want to go and do karate in the parking lot after this?
Sure.
Yes.
But yeah, so me and Robert, we got the band started up. We got a name, the Crosswind Drifters.
That's kinda cool, band name.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I think it's kind of country, but not too country. So
yeah, I like it.
I like it. I'm sorry. I gotta make a stupid ass joke here. I just keep on.
Just go for it.
Whenever you say
get it out, man.
Whenever you say Crosswind Drifters, I'm just thinking of farts, dude. Like downwind drifters.
That's cool.
Oh,
like,
shit.
It's all right. That's not too bad. We actually we were gonna call the band the Crop Dusters, but that's already a band.
Mm.
And the fart jokes ensued shortly after that. Mal, my buddy, you know, he's not with us anymore, but he had the best band name for a duo, and I mentioned it to him because it was just him and I right now, and he went ballistic. But we were like, well, we could just do country covers of Ronnie James Dio songs and call ourselves the Ronnie James Duo, which is a pretty great name for a band. But,
right,
But we decided that we were just going to stick to my songs, so that name went out pretty quick. But, yeah, the Crosswind Drifters, I'm okay with the occasional fart joke, you know.
Hey, man, just don't listen to me. I'm just
It's all right.
I've been whiskey.
It's literally the first time I've said the band's name on the air ever, and there's fart jokes.
If there was like a crop dusting competition, I think
which,
the Crosswind
by the way,
Drifter
I'm
would be
totally happy about. I'm cool with get all the.
Oh, I'm not ragging on it.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not. But all my friends are going.
Kind of what we do now.
So you kind of beat them to it. So now when they do it, it won't be as funny. You know. Ooh. Now when I'm they're like, a fart joke. I'll be like,
I'm like the first guy to post on a YouTube video.
Yeah, you totally. That's great. So now when all my friends are being dicks to like desensitize it, it's like not.
I'd be like, they stole that shit from me.
You know how many times I've heard that joke, bro? No, it's cool. I think it's a rad name. I think it'd be
it
fun.
Is. That's cool.
And yeah, just need to find a bass player.
You would think in people come to Nashville and they think it's going to be so easy to get this thing off the ground. Everybody's doing what I'm doing. I know when I came to Nashville, I thought it was there was going to be like people playing acoustic guitar like on this on the patio like every day when I come home from work. It was going to be like music was going to be in the air every day. It was going to be like everybody was going to be like everybody was into the same thing I was into. You know, like I didn't realize this was actually it's how people think of where I come from. Like people think when you go to Orlando, it's Mickey Mouse everywhere.
Yeah, and sure. It's like
that's kind of how I thought. No, when I came here, I thought everybody was going to be
It's more like crackheads and rich people.
wait, are we
Orlando?
I mean, you don't gotta just point out like my apartment right here. They were all. I mean,
no, I'm talking about in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Florida, man. Everything wants to kill you. The people, the nature,
the animals,
everything. Yeah. I remember the first time I went camping in Oregon after living in Florida. And I had, like, a gun and a fucking machete. And my buddy's like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I'm getting ready to go camping. He's like, there's literally nothing where we're going that can kill you.
Dude, I remember the first time I saw
somebody.
That
blew my mind. I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, did you guys kill all of it? Like,
right? Like, out of things that kill
first
me?
Time I got in the river, I'm, like, checking for gators. And they're like, dude, you're in Oregon. We don't have gators.
I did that here. The first time I saw somebody jump in a lake here, I was like,
yeah.
Don't be, what,
yeah,
what?
You're like, what the fuck are you doing? You didn't even look first, you know?
You don't jump in a lake in Florida unless there's other boats already out there. Like,
yeah, you got to check for movement, man.
Don't ever be the first person to jump in a lake.
And or like one of these morons in Shore Acres, there's freaking, he sees fish. This happens all the time. These rich guys, I don't know if they like, you eventually get so much money to where you're just a fucking moron. But these guys see fish flopping around off their docks, you know, and it's brackish water. They dive in and boom, they're eaten by a shark.
Yeah.
And then people are all surprised. And it's fucking dove in the
ocean.
Dude,
being a moron is definitely a rich man, poor man thing, because you can either be a dumbass and poor or you could be a rich moron. And you in the middle is where you actually have to pay attention. But if you're really rich or really poor, sure. You can afford to be a moron either way.
I guess if I had to choose.
Well, you know what? Now you've made me understand that better because I'm pretty broke. So
believe me.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can do a bunch of dumb shit and get away with it. Except, still, I would have been eaten by a shark.
You either have to have...
He wouldn't have been like, oh, you're too poor.
To be a dumbass, you either have to have nothing to lose or enough money to buy your way out of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well...
I've been one of those things.
Yeah, I'm definitely nothing to lose. I'm coming up from that.
Yeah, I've certainly never been rich. So.
No.
I've somehow managed, I joke about this all the time, I've somehow managed to work my way into circles that I have no business being in sometimes. Like, I think I'm really good at chameleoning my way into, like, some rich circles. And I did it in Florida, and I've done it here a couple of times. And, like, I find myself in these places where I'm like, in some like rooftop hot tub with a bunch of like.
Oh wait, I was there for that one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That doesn't just happen to me. That's pretty awesome.
And then I'm like, I find myself in these situations, and I'm like, why am I here? How did I get here?
Let's just bring the little guy. He's fun.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know what? he has a microphone. Let's bring him along, maybe. Oh, dude, I can't.
That was an interesting evening because I was a designated driver for her birthday, so I was totally sober in a hot tub with a bunch of drunk people.
Indeed.
It was kind of weird.
Indeed. We're not going to mention any names, but that was a fun night.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. It was definitely fun.
Did you puke in the hot tub?
I did. No.
No, nobody puked in the hot tub.
It was a classy night. It was a fun night, though. It was one of those times where I found myself in one of those. And this happened a lot. Like, this I can talk about because it's statute of limitations. I don't even know if this guy's down there anymore.
I know you're talking about Florida now.
Yeah,
when that
because
comes up. Yeah.
we had a buddy. Me and my buddy had met this guy that we used to like do install stereos and stuff. And there was this guy down there who his family was able to prove that they were like one of those Indian tribes, Native American tribes,
where you get
certain money from the
government. Yeah.
The dude was fucking loaded. Had a house up in Ormond Beach. And New Year's Eve, on like the turn of the, like the 2000 year, we went out there and we stayed, I think for a couple of years we did this. I think it was like 99, 2000, 2001. And the dude was just so loaded that he had a stock of cars in his garage. He was like, what do you guys want to ride tonight? You want to ride the Benz or you want to ride, what do you want to ride tonight? And then I remember he couldn't figure out what he wanted to wear. All his clothes were dirty. So he was like, I'm just going to go buy an outfit for tonight. And just went out to the store and bought an outfit to wear that night.
Gangsta.
Just was able to... Some stuff I can't talk about, but there was party favors that he was just like... "Yeah, y'all take whatever you want."
Oh, nice.
And it was just it was one of those nights, and that I often find myself in around people like that, and I'm like, and then I come home to my one bedroom apartment in Berry Hill, and I'm like, I'm kind of sad when I'm driving home.
Man, you know the old Florida saying, right? You come on vacation, leave on probation, return on violation.
Damn.
Oh, old man.
Florida.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted because there's a retarded person outside of our window. Old Patrick would say, you guys have heard him on the show before.
Good old Pat.
But, yeah, man, I guess we kind of winding it down.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys want to know?
Well, we want to know.
About me? I know a lot of stuff about birds, too.
Why are we just now getting to this?
Right.
I didn't know you were an avian aficionado.
We could do birds.
Yeah, are we going to do birdcast now?
No, I'm kidding. I mean, I'm
birdie. Is that what they call bird people?
I do know a lot about birds, but yeah.
Why? Birds are weird. Out of all the pets, of all the animals,
I'm writing a song about a bird right now, so I just happen to be on. I'm on the bird kick. Yeah.
Nice. What kind of bird do you?
It's a Phoebe bird.
A Phoebe bird.
It's a northwestern bird. Yeah. Just kind of doing the classic kind of Carter family thing of like, you know, comparing a bird to a girl type
cool
thing. Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
It's like it's about that girl from Friends.
Phoebe. Yeah.
Damn, bird. I'm glad somebody got
bird kept flying into shit.
You can't let out the secret shit, man. My muse.
It's about smelly cat.
Smelly cat.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, is there anything else you guys want to say?
Well, we talked about where you came from. We talked about what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. What's on the horizon? Well, we talked about the band a bunch.
Well, just going to get the band together. Hopefully have something tight and nice and played out a little bit around here by summer. And then try to tour as soon as possible. At least Southeast tour.
Well, I tell you what, man, we've done a bunch of like on location band gigs. So let us know when you guys are doing something, and we'll come out there and we maybe do like a pre show interview, and then we'll watch you guys play and all that.
Get some video and stuff.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great, man.
A little crossover promotion.
Yeah, I need to link you guys up with this other guy who does. He does a really great internet show too. It's an internet like kind of TV show or whatever called Badfoot's Basement.
Cool.
And he operates a. He operates out of East Nashville, and I've been kind of getting this idea together with him about doing something kind of bigger than just an episode in there. So that'd be kind of cool to get you guys down
some
on that
TV.
Too.
I don't know. Me and Chris, we have faces for radio, so TV might not be.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, there's some dark corners in there.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Well, you won't. The camera, usually you don't see me. They go over my head, the camera. So.
But no, I'll. Yeah, I'll see if I can tie you guys into that, because that'd be kind of fun. I want to kind of make it a big thing. I was just going to make it about what I'm doing, and now I've kind of met all these other people that I really like, and I kind of want to make it about all these other people too. Kind of a songwriter's thing, because a lot of the songwriting, not all of it, but a lot of songwriting here is geared towards popular music, which is fine. That's the way it's always been in Nashville. But there's something, you know, that I didn't experience that I wanted to experience when I got here. And it's not a time thing. It's not something I got to wait around for, because it's not something that really heavily exists the way it used to. But, you know, in Texas and even in Nashville, there were places where people like Steve Earle and Guy Clark and people like that who yeah, occasionally they would write a hit, but they weren't, you know, that's not the kind of songwriters they were. Those kind of guys, and, you know, disclaimer, I'm not saying I'm anywhere near as good as any of those guys, but I want to find those kind of guys in this town, and I want to get them together, and I want to figure out a way to let the rest of the world or the state or at least the fucking neighborhood or whoever watches our stuff online to listen to these guys, you know, these guys who get lost in the mix of all these hit songwriters, you know what I mean? And they need a place to congregate, and they need a place to hang out and play, and I think that basement might be the beginnings of that. So I'm trying to put that together too.
Nice. Sweet, well, man. I think anybody, as far as you not being as good as anybody else, I think anybody who heard those songs will disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I appreciate that.
Let's so one more time, let's plug where people can find your stuff right now.
Right now, just Ben Gerald Music on YouTube. And then you know, you can email me at bengeraldmusic@gmail.com.
We'll put links to all that on
eventually
the landing
page for this. I've got a website. It's bengerald.com. Right now, it's just under construction. So later on, hopefully in the next month or so.
A little picture of the, like, the truck on the phone.
I think it's just my fingers from like my first tour. They were like completely ragged out, and I just had this really good picture of that. So that's all that comes up. So it's just like, I'm working, I'll be back, you know.
Nice, bloody fingers. Chris, the other day, you were telling me the other day about how you started to pick up the guitar again and your fingers are killing you.
It's been crazy.
I actually had to get some new strings today because I got tired of my string. My fingers were just, those old strings were killing me. Yeah. So, well, thanks so much for hanging out with us, man.
It's been fun,
thank you guys, man. I appreciate it. This is
Chris,
fun.
You got anything else, brother?
Peace and love.
That's how Chris does it.
That's all I care about.
I want to make sure that we thank, on a personal note for the show, we've had a big spike in the last month or so. I want to thank all the fans that have been listening and sharing everything. That's the only way that we get bigger is for you guys sharing the stuff. If you like podcasts and you like what we do, keep doing that. Go on iTunes and rate us. We like 5 stars, but we'll take any. So, yeah, I think iTunes, I believe, is the only place you can rate us. But we're also on Stitcher and Google Play. And, of course, shareyourbuzz.com. You can also look up any past episodes by sharing by looking in the search bar. Yeah, and so just keep on sharing all our social media, Share Your Buzz, and we appreciate you guys. So on behalf of myself and Chris and Ben Jarrell.
Gerald.
no, I did that on purpose.
Y'all need to make some shirts.
You know, I don't know about Ben Jarrell, but I love this Ben Jarrell guy.
Yeah. Right. Y'all need to make some shirts. I'm forcing you into making shirts now by announcing it on the air. Yeah, because I want to rock one on stage, man.
Nice, dude.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right. Ben Jarrell, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks, dude.
Peace, man.
All right, this one's called The Flyer. Morning walk down an alley while the city had slumbered still. Littered with trash and graffiti and flyers from last weekend's bill. Posters flailing, flashing colors as I walk by. Till a missing persons flyer somehow caught my eye. Minus was a picture, only words it did describe. A girl who's been missing for quite a long time. The words they seem familiar, think I've heard of her once before. I just read it over and over, and I wanted to be sure. Have you seen her? She speaks with a certain sound. Word she may have gotten lost somewhere in the underground. Some folks forgot her name, oh, 20 years or more. I want to see her face again, oh hell, I miss her soul. If you see her, call out. Her name's Rock and Roll. Well, I ripped down that flyer and commenced to take it home. For now I was obsessed and needed space to think alone. Record after record, I could hear her calling out. Clues to where she'd wandered, where she's hiding now. Have you seen her? She speaks with a certain sound. And word she may have gotten lost somewhere in the underground. Some folks forgot her name, oh, many years ago. I want to hear her voice again, oh, how I miss her soul. If you see her, call out. Her name's Rock and Roll. She was lost in a far-off country, somehow stricken with the blues. Lost in tales of trotted trails and strings barely in tune. Synchronized explosions could never fill such a hole. The day she lost her way, that's the day she lost her soul. Have you seen her? She speaks with a certain sound. I'm worried she may have gotten lost somewhere in the underground. Some folks forgot her name, oh, many years ago. I want to hear her voice again, oh how I miss her soul. If you see her, call out. Her name's Rock and Roll. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate that.